I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members, remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Q if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, P to propose, S to second, and please refrain from making any comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. And I will ask Sarah at this juncture if there's anybody looking in to let me know, because I don't have that access in front of me. Is that okay, Sarah? Okay, thank you, members, for that. So apologies, please, Sarah.
We have apologies from councillors Hoy, King and O'Hare.
And Chair, also the Chief Executive, he's a close business, and also Conor Mallon, who's another meeting scheduled at this time.
Okay, thank you. Moving on then, members, to the number two, declarations of interest. There's nothing being raised at this juncture, so we'll move to item number three, which is the action sheet of the committee meeting held at the end of July, 31st of July 2025. And we'll take page by page for accuracy first, members. So page one, page two, page three, and page four. Okay, so I just need a proposer and a seconder to approve. Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. That's a spicy.
I'm just on page. It was also agreed that an update report regarding the Mourne Mountain Gateway project would be tabled at SPNR Audit Committee. Just wondering, has it been tabled at SPNR yet?
Thank you. I'll bring in the director.
No, not yet, but it will follow. It will come to the Audit Committee following the SPNR meeting.
Thank you. Okay, members, a proposer and seconder to approve the action sheet, please. By Councillor Devon, seconded by Councillor Brennan. Thank you very much. Okay, members, that takes us to item number four, assessment of performance 24-25, and Gerard's going to take this report. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this is really just a formality and to comply with the legislation. The assessment of performance has went through the SPNR committee in August and then was ratified by Council on 1st of September 2025 and is also published on our website now. I am happy to take any questions on the reports. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Gerard. Any members, any questions? Okay, nobody looking in, so I take... Oh, sorry. My apologies. Keep looking up and then listen. Councillor Boyce.
In relation to the assessment of performance, long-term staff absentee is still nearly double what it was pre-COVID. And one suggestion I had is perhaps an employee satisfaction survey. Is that something that this council could consider doing?
Through the chair, Councillor, just to inform you that the council have an internal health and wellbeing working group and work closely with the trade unions in relation to health and wellbeing of staff. But we have recently engaged with HSDNI relation to employee survey, which covers stress risk assessment, and also to do a separate independent review of health and wellbeing provision within the council, so that we can get that feedback and we can do a review back on the previous stress risk assessment that was carried out in line with the HSE guidelines. So it's anticipated the work is going, we're at planning stage at the moment, we're anticipating that will be completed by the end of the coming year.
I suppose you would like to come back in and give you aid.
Yeah, thank you. That's reassuring to hear that's going on. And as you say, it'd be good if we can get a comparison from previous surveys so that we can see in the report staff satisfaction, staff morale is improving in the council, because as I say, it's learning that we'll nearly double pre-COVID staff, long-term staff absentee.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, members. No further questions. I'm going to ask for a proposer and seconder to note the report, please. Mr. Murphy, thank you. Proposed. Seconder, please. Ms. Bosey, thank you very much. Members, there is no item five. So we'll move on to item number six, and that's the officer's register of interests, and I'll ask Josephine to take that.
There queries that arisen at the last meeting, so we brought this paper showing what has been agreed by SPNR and Council in relation to conflicts of interest policy and procedures back in June. Just here for noting and to remind members process in place. There is also a link to the website where the information.
Josephine, members, any questions? Thank you. Proposer and seconder to note the report, please. Would you like to propose? Thank you, Councillor Murphy. And a seconder, please, members. Councillor Brennan, thank you very much. Okay, that takes us to item number seven, which is the Corporate Risk Register and the S&E Direct Risk Register. Josephine, to start us off. Thank you.
Members, you'll see in the paper that the Corporate Risk Register was updated by SMT on the 16th of November, and it was informed by the assurance statements for the first quarter. And we have reviewed the Risk Register, we reviewed some of the actions and the controls. However, you will note that there have been changes in the overall score. Later today, you will see Sinead from SNE will provide an update in her Risk Register. You'll also see from the report that we are considering introducing this in relation to the climate change. That's something that we're looking at in the weeks. Councillors will be aware that there was a judicial review received in relation to the NCCCR project. It was received on the 19th of September, close of play. We received it, staff received it on Monday of this week. Just to say, our Risk Register was reviewed on the 16th of December, and that affected in the project. But if members had any queries on that, I guess wanted to point. I'll stop there and ask if there's any questions on the Corporate Risk Register. If there's not, we'll then move on to the SME Risk Register.
Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you. Just in a Corporate Register CR12, it mentions insufficient staff resources to deliver council services in an effective and efficient manner. There had been a massive decrease in waiting times for planning, but can I ask, are we still looking to recruit case officers within planning, or are we fully staffed?
Councillor Brennan, I'll have to take that one away because we don't have Conor Mallon here today. You'll find that there's a range of staff there. Sort of, if there are any gaps, we are seeking to recruit them as soon as there are. I just can't say to you today if there's any not, but I can get Conor or Jonathan Kelly to come back to you directly.
Okay, thank you, Josephine. Any other questions in relation to Councillor Bosie?
Item 5, I was out of sync. I had planned to ask on item number 6.
Item number 6. Yeah, would it be okay, because if we finished this item and then take us back to that, if we would? Thank you. Okay. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. I think this might be the same. It relates to something that Councillor Brennan had just raised. Josie, the unconscious Connor isn't at the meeting today, but just regarding the planning situation, I know obviously there's mentioned the report there about a graduate training scheme, and that definitely sounds very, very positive. But I suppose in the report there, it is notable that the major application process times have come down, but then they've jumped up again for the local application. I suppose that we've had this conversation prior to today's meeting about the sort of influx of complaints and queries regarding the processing times and how long planning applications are still taking. That might be anecdotally, but we're definitely still getting that feedback on the ground that it's taken a good significant bit of time to get a very basic planning application over the line. I know the risk is number 20 on the corporate risk register. I suppose maybe it's just a question I'm conscious, Josephine, you mightn't be able to answer it today. But, you know, is there a need for that to be increased again? I know that we're coming down with the major, but the locals seem to be creeping back up again. And they're the majority of what we're getting feedback on the ground for as councillors.
Councillor Devlin, I'll report back what you've said. I'm sure that's not a surprise to the staff, but we keep the corporate risk register updated on a regular basis. So we go in the facts we have at a point in time. There is a regular report that will go to SPNR and then will come to the audit committee. And Jonathan will be presenting on that. So we'll go with the numbers of, I think the risk score has reflected the fact the numbers have been going down and we've been able to get more staff in. But it is one of those things, as it's a service delivery, it does change. So we will reflect on your comments for the next time we review the corporate risk register. And, I can't remember off the top of my head which meeting is next. I think it's every sort of quarter or 6 months we were to bring a planning report back. Mm-hmm. So it goes to the part and then it will come to the audit committee. So there can be a fuller discussion then on the planning matters.
Thank you, Josephine. Thank you, Chair. I also had an item regarding CR01, but if anybody else wanted to come in the planning, I could hold back. You can let me know what works best for you.
Anybody else like to come in? I know Councillor Hannan's up to come in.
I was just going to endorse what Councillor Devlin had said in regards to planning. And I think, like we discussed, we do very similar roles in the offices for the MLAs. And, we can see that there's very straightforward planning that to me could be moved forward relatively quickly. And although I'll note that there has been the development with major applications, but we can't have a system clogged up with simple ones either. So I think maybe just if we could take that away and have a look at it would be appreciated.
Thank you. Councillor Devlin, did you want to come back?
Yes. Thank you, Ed Chair. It relates to corporate risk number one. And again, Josie, and I apologise, O'Connor's not here. The failure to deliver the capital investment programme for the district. And I suppose that the question that I had was sort of in light of the significant uncertainty regarding the city deal fund, and we're wondering should that risk be higher as well. I know for those of us on the audit committee that were on the programme board for the Gateway to the Mourns, we were very much aware of the complexities around securing that fund in the first place and the real risk there is that we've possibly lost it all, especially now we're going back to the drawing board. So I suppose my just concern is, should that number 20, is that high enough given the information we were given at the programme board all along about the risks about going back to the drawing board? So maybe that might be something else that could be looked at if that's possible.
Happy to take that back to SMT.
Thank you, Josephine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Byrne would like to come in. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And it's just on the last point that Councillor Devlin raised. To Josephine, I suppose, not only the risk score, but the actions to mitigate the risk and reduce the risk, I'd ask that it's looked at the next SMT meeting. See, when we're talking about the judicial review on the Near East City Centre, Civic Centre part of the project, the scope of the judicial review, and I know, the areas have been outlined in the email and that came to us and the media that's going around. It's around transparency, it's around governance, it's around climate as well. That actually has a knock-on effect. I know it's solely on the civic centre part of it, but that has a knock-on effect to the theatre and conference centre as well, because while the two projects are separate, they're under the one business case. So if there are issues and a ruling that comes out of the GR in terms of effect on climate or transparency or governance, that follows on to the Theodore and the conference. And that is a major, major problem. And I know we're talking about mitigating it, the risk of governance arrangements not being adhered to. I'm not stating that that's the case. I'm stating that that's the risk that's going to come out of the GR. The legal challenge, the negative PR that's come from it as well. So a discussion on the risk score, absolutely. But there needs to be a new discussion with SMT on actions in order to address this, and especially that negative PR. Whether that's going outhouse in terms of trying to take information to the public around our capital projects, I just feel, and it's going to be an issue coming forward for the audit committee, and we had it in the past with Christine there in terms of investigations into parts of NCCR. It's just so negative at the minute. Are we doing the best job in trying to sell the vision in our capital programmes? And should we look at another way of trying to do it? Because it's not getting through to the public. And I just think it's going to be mired in more and more controversy. So if we have a conversation about the actions coming out of that, it'd be really helpful.
Councillor Byrne, when we look at the risk register, we not only look at the scores, but we look at actions and controls. So, you know, we do a complete review. So we'll take away those comments and we'll look at the
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne. As the director said, those comments will be taken on board and brought back in due course. Anything else from members? Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, I just wanted to come in on CR12, insufficient staff resources to deliver council services in an effective and efficient manner. Just going back to the recent agreement to implement the cleansing schedule across the district. Would the officers be confident that we have the staff resources and to enable delivery of that? I know that we discussed in other committees around a driver academy, for example, to try and recruit drivers. But, you know, does the residual risk score actually reflect where we are as a council in regards to that?
Thank you. Thank you, Sinead.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members will be aware that at the S&E working group, by the cleansing and refuse task group, members were updated on the outworkings of the recruitment process from the cleansing review. So while it was a highly successful campaign, a number of posts management are looking at putting it out in the next recruitment drive, so we're working with HR on that. In the interim, we're looking at interim solutions, filling those post-services operational pending development, and that is something that's being addressed as we work towards implementation of the full cleansing review. Back on the floor, and that's something that will become more responding.
Okay, members and officers, thank you for that. If we're content with the corporate risk register, we can move then, Sinead, to take the S&E directorate register, if you would. Thank you.
So members will see in Appendix 3 the overview of the S&E register. So members will see that following the review, the residual risk scores have previous, with 3 of the scores amber and 2 red. In relation to the red scores, SE04 failed to comply with relevant statutory and legislative abilities. So work is underway in addressing in relation to in work in addressing compliance with the various statutory requirements, for example, Legionella, asbestos risk assessments. So we're in a positive place in terms of having contract in place. Assessments and reports. And then the other risk, which is risk SE6, and better to keep the risk score as it stands through the procurement action plan, and there's good work going on in the background in relation to the S&E Procurement Action Plan. We're not ready to change that residual risk just yet.
Okay, Sinead, thank you for that. Members, any questions on the S&E Directorate? Laura, or Councillor Devlin?
Sorry, Chair, it's not actually a question. There seems to be an issue with the sound. It seems to be dipping in and out for anybody that's dialing in. I'm not sure if it's just me, but it's sort of hard to hear. It seems to just be tapering off at the end of sentences sometimes. Apologies.
I thank you, Councillor Hannan. We'll endeavour to talk close to the microphone. You can let us know if that's the if that's working.
Thank you so much. Apologies, I'm not there in person. I know it should be. Thanks.
Not to worry at all. Thank you. Okay. Hannan, have you a question? Sorry to think. Thank you, Councillor Hannan.
See, in the S&E risk register under SE03, the lack of burial capacity at council cemeteries, would the council officers have been looking at any other alternatives, such as columbariums and, get me now the name of it, crematoriums in the district? Because I know our district doesn't have one, so if any family members wish their loved ones to be cremated, they have to go out of the district in order for that to happen. And I know it's probably something that people are moving towards because of the lack of capacity in cemeteries. So just to maybe get an update on that.
Well, I start, Chair. We are looking to bring a paper to SFWG sort of in October, actually on the very issue. Need and her team have been looking at it, so on the agenda.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Councillor Hannan. Thank you, members. Yes, We looked for now a proposal and seconder for to approve the corporate risk register and to note the S&E risk register, please. Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Seconder? Councillor Brennan, thank you very much. Okay, members, we'll go back to item number 6. Councillor Bowsey had a question.
So it's in relation to senior directors' conflicts of interest or declarations of interest. I'd asked at the last meeting that these be made available on the website, because at the minute there's only a list of people who have submitted their declarations of interest, but the declarations of interest itself aren't on the website. And I see on the report under 2.1, a bit of a laughable sentence, senior officer declarations of interest are published on the website, but their content is not. The declarations of interest aren't published on the website if the content isn't. I mean, it's just a list of names. And I say that this is based on ICO guidance. I had a look at the guidance and I didn't seem to get the impression that that's their guidance. It seemed to suggest that senior officers' declarations of interest and elected members shouldn't be treated any differently when it comes to disclosure. So I don't think it needs to be a bigger issue than it needs to be. And perhaps if you think that the guidance does state that, maybe as a proposal that guidance that you have is presented to us at the next meeting.
Thank you for the question, Director.
Councillor Bosey, this was discussed at SPNR in June 23. That's why we're acting.
So my proposal still stands.
Yeah, can we just clarify again what the proposal is?
The report says this is based on ICO guidance. I would like to see that guidance, so that guidance is presented to in our audit committee, whichever is.
Director, which opinion? Well, is there a seconder for this proposal? Councillor Murphy. Which committee is that? We'll bring it back to the next audit committee. Okay. Okay, members, thank you. We'll move on then to item number 8, which is the statement of accounts 24-25. And I'm going to ask Jared to take that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm just going to present my report, but it's probably best to take it in conjunction with the audit officer's report to those charged with governance, but it's moving into a closed session. So the draft accounts were submitted to the audit office and department on the 30th of June, and I gave a detailed presentation on the audit committee on the 31st of July. So what I would like to say is that none of the figures that was presented on the 31st of July have changed. There was one reclassification between long-term liabilities and long-term borrowing on the prime statement, which is the balance sheet. That's really a movement between two lines of $832,000 in relation to finance leases. So no impact on the bottom line, and it's just a reclassification. And I think that will need to be brought out in the audit office's report to those charged with governance also, because that is the only amendment to the figures. Other than that, there's been two amendments to the governance statement, and that's just to make it relevant at a point in time. It was previously completed 30 June, and now the two amendments are in relation to the Moore and Mount Bay Gateway project, just an up-to-date position, and then just as of this week, then the judicial review in relation to Newry City Centre regeneration. So that has been added in to the final page of the governance statement. I suppose it's just to say that the audit is nearing completion, and I think it's almost complete. And the report to those charged with governance is the next item on the agenda. And there's an unqualified audit opinion with just four audit findings. So, Chair, I'm not sure if the members want to maybe hear the audit office first before approving the accounts for signing by the Chief Executive and the Chair.
Okay. It's a slight issue. Thank you, Gerard, for that. And I want to say thank you for all the hard work you put into these accounts and your team, because it's a huge document. I've got a printout. It's massive. So thank you to everybody involved in that. If you pass on our appreciation. The difficulty here is that we'd like to take the report attached to those with governance in closed business members. And I know there was, correct me if I'm wrong, Gerard, one slight restatement made in relation to leases. Is that correct? We discuss that the next item.
Yeah, it's just one reclassification on the balance sheet. Yeah, and it probably just needs to be reflected in the report to those charts of governance. Also, that's the only amendment to the figure, but no change to the bottom line.
Okay, members, if we could, we would like to take the other report because they do go hand in hand. So if we hold off getting a proposal seconder until we do the two reports, but welcome any questions you might have at this juncture on the accounts. Nope. Okay, members. Then items 9 to 18 are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So could I have a proposer and seconder, members, please, to go into closed business, closed session? Councillor Hannan, thank you, and Councillor Murphy, thank you. Okay, if we get the nod from Sarah, then we can continue. Okay, thank you, Sarah. Okay, sorry about that, members. We had a problem with the printer. I'm reporting back on the decisions taken during the closed business. Item 9, report to those charged with governance 24-25 draft. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Brennan, it was agreed to approve the report. Item 10, update of audit recommendations. On the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Brennan, it was agreed to note the progress in implementing both internal and external audit recommendations. Item number 11, the Director Awards Contracts Report on the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Bousey. It was agreed to note the following: the quarter two financial year ending March 26 in relation to Direct Award activity, to note the DAC register as at the 31st of August 25, and to note the developmental work being carried out, including the active DAC register as at the 31st of August 25. Item 12, Procurement Action Plans on the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Brennan. It was agreed to note the update in progress in relation to procurement and the Directorate Procurement Action Plans. Item number 13, update on fraud and whistleblowing, including raising concerns, policy and NFI. On the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Devon, it was agreed to note the following: the update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases as detailed in Appendix 1, the progress on actions arising from the NIAO internal fraud risk self-assessment, and the update in relation to the National Fraud Initiative. Items 14, 16 and 17, summer NI summary report. On the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the summer NI summary report, including HR policy review, PCSP audit and the mid-year follow-up. Item 15, internal audit plan 25-26 revised. On proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Hannan, it was agreed to approve the internal audit plan 25-26 revised. And members, that brings us to the conclusion of the meeting. I can't talk any quicker than that. And I just want to say thank you very much. Safe home and enjoy that beautiful sunshine. See you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.